Good morning and welcome back to the Business Day. It's time for Money Radio's International Focus. Imran Anwar is founder of Imran Net Services. He is also the pioneer or a pioneer of the internet email in Pakistan, well-known technology consultant and media expert specializing in Southeast Asia, India, and Pakistan. And he joins us now to talk about Southeast Asia and what's happening and take a look at what they might do at the coming operation meeting in Kuala Lumpur. Hi, Imran.
How are you, George? Good to see you back.
And thank you very much. You're good to be back. Well, as I said, they're going to be having what they call the APEC forum, and it's going to kind of culminate with a summit, I think, on the 17th and 18th. And this is where the, for the most part, the Southeast Asian nations, but there are others involved. Obviously, if you're part of the Asian Pacific group, that includes a lot of countries, including the United States. But they're going to meet in Malaysia. Let me ask you, first of all, what is the tone of this meeting in Malaysia, where things are more than a bit shaky?
Well, George, as you would expect, things have been up and down in both Malaysia and Indonesia. But one of the more important things to note is that the recent developments that have taken place, both politically and economically, have also sent mixed signals to the markets, and that has been confusing for people who may be considering doing business in that region, because you really don't know which way to go. The APEC, the APEC forum, is actually a great opportunity for these countries that now number 21, actually. There are now 21 countries that belong to this organization, including Russia and Peru and Vietnam, who recently joined. The APEC is giving an opportunity for countries like Malaysia and Indonesia to sort of go thumping their chests a little bit, mm-hmm. and say, we have overcome our problems, and the Asian economy is coming out of its doldrums, and we in particular have not only survived but are coming out ahead, and so we do not need to worry about criticism from anybody else. So that's basically the mood that is being set by the hosts right now. The 21 countries that belong to this organization make up a GDP of almost $14 or $15 trillion. And so they have something to gloat about.
Well, sure, because the U.S. and Japan are in there. I mean, any country, roughly, countries with any significant, or all, I guess with the case of Russia, any exposure to the Pacific region. Yeah.
Exactly. But what they see when they are showing off these numbers, they sort of gloss over the fact that these countries are represented there. They would like to point out to the as if Asia has, and it does, but they're trying to show that Asia, and in particular countries like Indonesia and Malaysia, are huge economic powerhouses, obviously, you know, trying to gloss over the fact that a few months ago, we didn't know which way their economies were headed.
Yeah.
Now, politically, things are not any better in either country. And that is not a good sign, obviously, and there is just so far you can go with economic good news, etc. But if you do not solve your fundamental problems, as is not being done either by Indonesia or Malaysia, I don't know what the long-term benefits of such economic good news would be.
Yeah, and going into this country, I think there's a lot of tap dancing going on. Obviously, the problems in Malaysia are ongoing. The concerns about what the prime minister is doing, and what happened to his deputy that is who was sacked and has been jailed and so on. His wife has been calling for the international community to stick up for her husband. And yet it seems to me they go into these meetings hoping they don't have to, that they can keep the two things separate, that they can keep the business, understandably, that they want to do that relates to the economies and circumstances and trade regulations and so on that they want to work on as far as all of these APEC countries are concerned. As you said, it's a very diverse group, the U.S., ranging from the U.S. to Brunei and everything in between. And at the same time, keep that separate, but and not have to, at this point, deal with the problems in Malaysia. It seems like a very tricky business, one thing and another.
That's a good point, George, but look at it from this perspective. You and I will possibly be in agreement and be able to convince the world that the separation of church and state makes sense. By the same token, when we go into a country like Malaysia, when they say, well, our internal political problems and our external economic issues mm-hmm. should be treated separately, then we raise our eyebrows and say, you know, how do you mean? So that gives these countries an opportunity to sort of point to the United States or the West and say, well, you have a dual standard. You pick any two factors and say those are unrelated. And when we pick two, you say those are related.
Yeah.
In the particular example of Malaysia, the deputy prime minister is still, as you know, in jail, and he's still undergoing trial. The interesting developments there have been that he was accused of certain sexual acts, but on top of that, the issue was a misuse of power in the sense that some of the witnesses that came forth against him were police officers who said that we would gladly give false testimony to keep him happy. Now, that makes me question, wouldn't they thereby be saying we could be giving false testimony right now to make the current people in power happy?
Certainly, that's all. And they've been accused, Malaysia's been accused of being hypocritical on human rights and all of that going in. But now, clearly the mood going in, if I'm reading it correctly, of the 17, 18 countries, whatever they are, and I guess Russia, Peru, and Vietnam are going to be there this time around. The mood is let's stay away from that. Let's deal with the problems at hand. One of which, as I understand it, would be a very much more protectionist attitude about some of the free trade issues that some of the countries have been pushing. Obviously, Australia and the United States, and I suppose Canada. And so on. Some of these countries have been very much pushing for a more liberalized idea of trade in that region among all those countries and just as part of the world movement. And there is concern, as I understand it, Imran, that there might be given the nature of what's happened there economically in Southeast Asia, there could be a very much more circle the wagons mentality, which, by the way, would play into the hands of the leaders of Malaysia.
It would actually, George, but I think it's all about posturing. For example, even though the atmosphere is going to be very protectionist while this meeting is taking place, mm-hmm. as we have seen from events in the last few weeks and months, the subject matter and the topics and the attitude will be very much for an open economy. Even electronic commerce is being discussed. I mean, we are nowhere close to electronic commerce being a way of life here in the United States. I don't know when countries like Pakistan and Malaysia and others will be buying and selling goods electronically with smart cards only, but still, that's what they're talking about. It's on the agenda this time. Yes, there will be a political spin put on it, so they will try to posture very positively while sort of using good numbers to defend any protectionist actions they have taken.
We're almost out of time, but there is some chance that the President Clinton, will not be attending. He had planned to, but because of the tensions in Iraq, and he may not attend. What is the significance of that to this meeting, if anything, if he's not there personally? He's pretty impressive. He usually has quite a lot of influence.
He does, and I mean, any president of the United States would have a lot of influence, and especially somebody with the charismatic personality of Bill Clinton. The issue there, however, is that he wasn't intending on meeting the Malaysian prime minister in the first place to express his displeasure. The fact that he is going to be he may not attend. People will understand the impact of issues like Iraq, but of course he has to be careful, because if that plays into the hands of other developing countries who may empathize with Iraq, we will all lose.
Well, we will have more to talk about on this issue, because we'll know more after they've had their meetings and see what they've left us with. Thank you for joining us today, Imran, as always.
The pleasure is always mine, George.